What sounds like the storyline for an episode of Law & Order SVU, and actually to a point once really was, became a tragic reality for a family in Neptune, New Jersey. Tamara and Philip Seidel were going through a contentious divorce, certainly not uncommon these days. The tragedy came about when Philip, a Neptune police officer, shot and killed Tamara while she was sitting in her car with her 7-year-old daughter, one of 9 children. Here to talk about this case is the attorney for those 9 Seidel children, Shelley Stangler. Good morning, Shelley.
Yes, good morning. How are you, Chris?
Great to have you here to talk about this issue and bring it to the attention of civilians and hopefully other police departments when we get into the explanation of the questions of police performance in this case. Shelley's law firm website, by the way, is stanglerlaw.com. And just a little quick background, it was on June 16th in Asbury Park street corner when Philip walked up to the car with Tamara sitting in it. He was off duty at the time, shot and killed her, fired a total of 12 shots from his .40 caliber Glock service weapon, as right in front of people and police from Asbury Park and Neptune watched. He then held the police at bay for 20 minutes before eventually surrendering. He is now charged with first-degree murder, being held on a $2 million bail by the Monmouth County Jail. And according to the Asbury Park Press, Shelley, there were 21 police reports, Neptune Police Department reports, most of those having to do with domestic violence involving the Seidels, which to me brings about a variety of questions. First of all, why did Philip have a service weapon still in his possession?
All right. Well, first of all, these are all things that are under investigation.
Right.
We obviously have to look at all of the documents. But the family has retained me to explore and to file a civil lawsuit, which will involve exploration of all of these issues. And the reason these apparent prior domestic violence issues, complaints, are important is because the focus of the civil lawsuit is very different than the criminal case involving Sergeant Seidel, where, again, as you say, he's been charged with murder, use of a weapon for an unlawful purpose. The point of the civil lawsuit and the point of our investigation is to determine the culpability or the responsibility of the police departments involved, which here are both Neptune Township and Asbury Park. This would be a wrongful death claim, and it involves violations of federal civil rights. Now, what is the heart and soul of a federal or a state civil rights claim? That's when you talk about what did the police department know. And that's the issue we have to explore that has to do with these 21 prior complaints, the police coming to the door. What did they know? What did the police know? When did they know it? What did they do about it? Were there warning signs? One of the most important issues here, in terms of my representation, is to deal with the Attorney General guidelines regarding domestic violence policy. The Attorney General has a lengthy policy and procedure that the police departments are supposed to use. What we're dealing here, Chris, is an issue of could the police department have done something to have stopped this? And there's two levels of this inquiry. The first is what kind of discipline and training and supervision is going on within the department? This involves Neptune Township. How do we get to the point where you have someone with that has these serious anger problems and domestic violence issues? How do we get to the point where he can just shoot and kill his wife in broad daylight? That's an escalation. That's not necessarily just, well, he just did this.
Well, let me stop you for a second, because you go back to the divorce in 2012 and those court papers. Philip was declared unfit for duty back in 2012, so under standard police procedures, you lose your weapon and badge once you declare it unfit for duty. He was suspended in 2014, this is according to the Asbury Park Press, for 6 months for an unstated reason, again, through court papers. The suspension is a little crazy. He was suspended 1 week a month until January 2015, as opposed to just consecutive days of suspension. And the Asbury Park Press is also reporting that the GPS data from Seidel's police vehicle showed that, and this is their terms, he stalked his ex-wife days prior to the shooting, and the house was at the end of a cul-de-sac, which is certainly not a way to stalk someone in any clandestine way. Certainly other people must have seen a police cruiser on a frequent basis going down to the end of the cul-de-sac.
Well, again, there will be a full forensic forensic review and investigation of all of the actual facts in this case. But what you're raising is the issue again of hiring, training, and supervision, and most importantly, discipline. This type of situation does not only involve Sergeant Seidel. It involves a review of all of the internal affairs complaints at the Neptune Township Police Department. What kind of excessive force complaints have been raised by citizens? What kind of domestic violence is shown within the department? What action was taken? What investigations were taken? Because what you have here is that if you do not have appropriate internal affairs investigation and you do not have appropriate discipline meted out, then what happens is you create an atmosphere or an environment that permits this type of aggressive violence to occur. All right, so those are some of the issues that we have to explore. And, again, that is the heart and soul of a federal civil rights case against the public entity, in this case, Neptune Township. Now let's go to Asbury Park. That gets us to the actual incident and what's going on there. So, again, we need a full forensic review. You know, we have a little snippets on YouTube. That's not really enough for me to comment on at this point. But I will say that there apparently was an opportunity, thankfully, to get the 7-year-old child out of Sergeant Seidel's car. Well, if you had those few seconds, what were you doing with respect to protecting Mrs. Seidel? Why was she left there? You have, at least from what we can see, you have a period of time between the firing of rounds, one in the back or the side of the car, then there's a period of time, and then he goes around the front and he shoots again. So that really presents a lot of issues as to what the police could have done, what they should have done, and those are also obviously major issues in this particular type of case. You know, and again, this is different than the criminal case. It's a whole different focus. Also, you should understand, again, going back to the domestic violence policy, that where there is an act of domestic violence, Chris, as defined by the statute, and by the way, the statute does not only talk about assault or sexual assault, threats, harassment, there are various forms of domestic violence. And under the Attorney General's guidelines, where there is an act of domestic violence that is committed or alleged, just alleged, there are a series of steps that have to be taken by the police department.
Other than what it sounds like, and this is my observation, certainly not yours, and we've seen it way too often where police think they're doing the right thing by, quote-unquote, protecting their own. And when you do that, you create these innocent victims like the Tamara Seidels.
Well, yes, it is very important to determine what protections were offered to Mrs. Seidel. You know, was she given any assistance? Was there any discussion with her about filing a restraining order? You know, should further action have been taken? There is this issue, as you say, about his weapon being taken away, and I believe there was a period of time where he was instructed that it had to be delivered to the department and he couldn't go home with it, which is a remedy that can be afforded. You know, how is it given back to him? The prosecutor's involved in this also, and I should say that that is something that we'll be looking at, because under the Attorney General guidelines, both the police department and the prosecutor have a role in taking away the weapon and returning it. So what were the circumstances, and what was the domestic violence, you know, complaints after that? I do know, based on my conversations with various persons and my investigation to date, that the police did arrive at the door of the Seidel residence on more than one occasion. What did they do? Did they go inside? Did they look to see if there were any signs of abuse? You know, so these, again, we don't have all of the facts in front of us. We have to conduct a complete investigation, but these are the types of things we're going to be looking at. And, again, the issue of internal affairs and how they deal with excessive force complaints. You know, excessive force is a mirror image of domestic violence. So if you have officers that are being accused by citizens of excessive force, and they're just getting a slap on the wrist, you know, that plays into the domestic violence aspect as well.
And with Shelley Stangler, who is the representative for the 9 Seidel family children, mother Tamara was murdered. on the street by her ex-husband, Philip. And you can learn more about Shelley's law practice at stanglerlaw.com. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Speaking of the children, Shelley, how are the nine doing? I mean, my prayers for the seven-year-old is can't be any more possible for me to come out for her. But my fear is that part of her, because of what she witnessed, is just never going to come back.
Well, the children are under psychological care, and obviously the young girl has been severely traumatized, which is terrible. But I will say this. This is a strong family. This is a devout family. They have a great deal of support from their church and their community and their neighbors, and everyone is pulling together, you know, to provide meals, to provide support, to provide comfort. There is a lot going on. Fortunately, but yes, it's an absolutely tragic situation. You now have nine children without a mother, without a devoted mother, I must add, who was at every soccer practice, wrestling, football, was on the Red and Black Booster Club, you know, a very involved mother, also worked at the church, Mount Carmel and Asbury Park. So it's terribly tragic, and now the father's in jail, and you have a child who witnessed a father killing a mother. I can't think of anything more horrible.
No, not at all, and we have to wrap things up here. Unfortunately, for you listening, I'm hoping that, hopefully this brings about a few lessons, and this is my belief system talking. As you well know, domestic violence is a topic in my wheelhouse as far as my priorities and sensibilities, and if you're one of those who are saying of Tamara, well, if it was so bad, why didn't she just leave? Well, try to do something about your ignorance on that issue. If you are a member of the Neptune Asbury Park Police Department, from what I know of this case up to this point, and I cordially invite you to prove me wrong, but at this point, you disgust me. And if you are any member of a police department, FOP member, any part of law enforcement, who is, quote-unquote, going to rally around Philip Seidel, you equally disgust me. But I cordially invite you to prove me wrong, if that is at all possible. We'll follow this case, Shelley, because I think this is a sad example and representative, unfortunately, of the darkness of domestic violence that we don't know about, or maybe we don't seek out quickly enough, too many of us, until we see a Tamara Wilson, Seidel, and the results of a demon like her ex-husband, Philip. And I hope the best for the children, and I hope for full justice for the perpetrator in this case. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Chris.